Hello and welcome you to the broadcast today. My name is Chaplain Blondie Gregory and I pray today that the broadcast will be an encouragement and an uplifting to you. God's word is faithful. What God done for others, he'll do for you. He is not a respecter of persons. And today, all stay tuned. I'm gonna give you the word, and this word that's coming forth today will show you how you can be blessed, and not only blessed, but you and your whole household. Today, I want to talk about two people that hid something in their houses and what effect it had on them and their families. So please stay tuned. This is very important. Lord, touch hearts today as we preach your word. Touch hearts as we share forth the gospel. I pray that there be one of the sound of my voice that is not born again, that today they will make you their Lord and Savior, that they will say today, Jesus, be my Savior and forgive me of my sins. Lord, knowing that the only way in to God the Father is through Jesus, and because of the precious blood that was shed on Calvary, he paid the price for our sin, and all we have to do is to receive that. And I thank you for your word, because I know your word is faithful and your word is true. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Right now, if you will, turn with me to Joshua chapter 6, and I want to read verse 17. Joshua chapter 6, verse 17. And this is speaking of Jericho. And Joshua had taken over the leadership of Israel. Moses had died, and now Joshua was going to lead his the Israelites into the promised land, and they were going up into a city, a great walled city called Jericho. And this is the orders that God gave them, specific orders, before they went up into Jericho. And the city shall be accursed, even it, and all that are therein, to the Lord. Only Rahab the harlot shall live, and she and all that are with her in her house, because she hid the messengers that we sent. And ye in any wise keep yourselves from the accursed thing, lest ye make yourselves accursed, when ye take of the accursed thing, and make the camp of Israel a curse, and trouble it. But the silver and the gold and vessels of brass and iron are consecrated unto the Lord. They shall come unto the treasury of the Lord. Now Israel had spent 40 years in the wilderness because they grumbled and complained and they doubted God. That timing was up. Now it was time for them to go into the promised land. God said, I'm gonna roll off the reproach of Egypt off of you. Now you're coming out of the wilderness and you're going into the promised land. You know, it's time that you and I allow God to roll off the reproach of Egypt off of us. And I'm talking about our days of grumbling and complaining. You see, the Israelites did not have to stay in the wilderness 40 years, but because they doubted God when the spies went up to spy out the land, and because they grumbled and complained, they were sentenced to 40 years in the wilderness. But God said, now it's time that reproach roll off of you. We're going to make a new covenant, and now we're going up into, we're going to renew the covenant we have, and now we're going into the promised land. And I want to tell you, some of you, you just need to have the reproach of Egypt rolled off of you. And you know what? You got to quit your grumbling and quit your complaining and whining. We used to have a sign in our chapel, and it's still in the one I have now. It's at the back door. It says, no sniveling. I loved it. One truck driver come in, and he said, what does sniveling mean? It's no sniveling, no grumbling, no complaining. We don't have time for that. If you do that, you're going to spend a lot of days in the wilderness. But he said, it's time this reproach comes off us. We're going up to the promised land. And they were going to face a walled city, which was totally impossible for them to take. But God told them, he said, now when you go up here, when you go into this land, if you'll serve me, I'll do. And I love this. He said, wondrous things. I'll do great and mighty wondrous things for you. And there's something else I want to tell you here, and I want you to hear me real carefully now. Listen to me. You know, today we constantly hear that private sin has nothing to do with a person's ability to perform his public responsibilities. Wrong, wrong, wrong. Private sin affects a man or woman, everything they touch, because it reveals true character, and character is the basis of every relationship. What you do in private affects everything you do and affects everything you touch and affects everyone that you do. Your private sin, so-called, that you do at home does affect your service when you get in public. That's the reason our politicians and our country is in a mess, because they thought their private sins and their wickedness that they did, and they thought it was covered up, wasn't going to affect the way they ruled our country. But it affects your decision making. It affects your family. It affects everything you touch. It does have an effect. You're not hiding anything. Your private life is going to show up in every decision you make, and it's going to show up in what you touch, and the effects of it is going to be made clear. You're not going to hide it. And as they went in to possess this land, he said that they were coming out of the wilderness and that they were going to be blessed, and he was going to roll off the reproach of Egypt from them. And he had sent spies up into Jericho, and there was a harlot named Rahab. When these spies came into her place to hide from the enemy that was looking for him, the two spies, she said this. She said, "We've heard what your God has done. We've heard how mighty your God is, and our hearts have melted within us." And she said, "I know that your God is God in heaven, and he's also God here on earth." And in other words, she was saying, "Listen, I'm on your side." And she hid the messengers of God in her house, hiding the word of God in her house. And when it came time for God's people to go fight against Jericho, when Jericho's judgment time came, guess who was spared? The Bible says that specific orders were given that Rahab and all of her household, all of her family. Now listen to this. I want you to, later on, you read this whole chapter and you see it yourself. God told them this. He said, "She has put a scarlet rope out of her window. And that is a sign you're not to touch anyone in that house." And not only is Rahab to be spared because she hid the messengers from God's people, hid God's word also in her heart and believed God, she is to be saved, and all of her family is to be saved, and all of her possessions are to be saved. That was a command before they even went into battle, that Rahab, because she hid the messengers of God, because she hid the messengers, she was to be saved. And her family was to be saved, and all of her possessions was to be saved. That right there, you could just stop right there and go to preaching, because that's powerful, that's mighty, that's awesome. But then God told them something else, and I want you to listen very carefully. He said, "Now, that city is accursed. It's an evil city. It's done wicked things. But I'm going to give you victory over that city, but you're not to touch anything in it. It's accursed. Don't touch anything in it, because if you touch it, you're going to bring a reproach on you and your family and the whole camp of Israel." Let me go back now. You got to hear this. I just told you this. Your private sin affects your ability to rule and do your public job. That's what God told them. Don't touch anything that's wrong. Don't pick up anything that's accursed, because if you do, it's going to affect you, it's going to affect your family, and it's going to affect your possessions, and it's going to affect your whole household and the whole nation of Israel. Don't touch it. God said the gold, the silver, the brass, all these things, they go into the treasury of the Lord. Don't touch them. They belong to me. And we know the story of Jericho. They marched around the walls for seven times, and they marched around 7 days, and on the seventh day they marched seven times, and they blew the trumpet and they shouted, and God caused the walls of Jericho to fall flat. And it was an awesome, mighty work of God. It was a thing that God did. He said, I'll do wonders among you. Chapter 3, verse 5 in Joshua, he said he would do wonders among you. He said, I'm going to do wondrous things among you. And that's what he did that day. He did exactly what he said. But he gave them specific orders before they went in there what they were not to do. To guard their private way of living, their private life, because your private sin is going to affect everything and everyone around you. And as he was doing this marvelous, wonderful miracle for Israel, as he was given this small band of people, these people had come out of the wilderness, as he was giving his covenant people this great city, as he was working miracles for them, and he told them specifically, do not touch anything in that city. Don't bring out any spoil. Don't touch it. It's accursed. It's cursed. Leave it alone. As he was working miracles for them, there was one in the midst that did not listen. There was one in the whole bunch that dared to defy God. He did not believe the warning that God gave. And his name was Achan. And what he did, he saw a Babylonian garment that was covered in gold. And he took silver and he took gold, a big thing of gold. And he took it after he saw what God had done, after he heard what God had said. He took it and he went back to his camp. He went into his camp and he dug under his tent and he buried the accursed thing in his household. And he covered it up. He hid it. He didn't hide it from his family. They had to help him because you can't dig a hole in your living room floor and the whole family not know about it. He dug it. He made a hole. He thought he buried the treasure he had. And he was hiding it from man and his fellow soldiers. And he was hiding it from God in his little tent under the ground. And so the next few days, they got ready to go up against another city. And this city was a small city, Ai. And they said, you know, this is such a small city. And it's unwalled. We don't have to send all of our soldiers up there. We'll just take 2,000 or 3,000 and we'll go up there and we'll get the victory. Well, when Israel went up against Ai and with just 2,000 or 3,000 men, it was a small city, unwalled. When they got up there, the Bible says that they turned their backs before the enemies because Ai whooped the socks off of them. You see, when sin comes in, you're going to turn your backs on you. You say, what do you mean turn your back? You're going to run. You're going to run from the enemies. See, God had given them a great battle up in Jericho, and it was a great mighty victory. God worked, but he had warned them. You see, when sin comes in, the enemy had not got stronger, but Israel got weaker because they had sinned. A nation, when they sin, the enemy doesn't get stronger, but you get weaker. You get weak before your enemies. You remember the story about Samson and Delilah? He was a strong man. But you see, he sinned and he had his hair cut. He gave away his commitment to God and he laid in the lap of Delilah and she cut his hair. The enemy hadn't gotten any stronger, but Samson got weaker because he fell into sin. The same thing will happen in your life and my life and in this nation's life. When you do that which is evil before God, I don't care how deep you think you're burying something, honey. God knows where it is, and you're going to become weak in the presence of your enemies. That's the reason a nation becomes a laughing stock in the presence, in the face of their enemies when they sin. because they become weak before their enemies, and they turn their backs and they run from their enemies. They try to compromise with them. They try to make league with, and anything in our country now we can't defeat, we'll legalize it. Come on. Come on, y'all. Come on. You know I'm telling you the truth. But let me tell you something. They came back down. Some of the men got killed, and they asked Joshua, what happened? And Joshua began, he fell on his face, he began to pray, Joshua said, God, you told us you're going to give us the victory. Now what? What's happened? This was a small city, and we ran, and now what are we going to do? And this is what God told him. He said, Joshua, get up, you got sin in the camp. Oh my, you got sin in the camp. And I want to ask you today, what have you got buried in your house? Have you buried the message of God in your house, and you spared when the judgment comes, and your household and all your belongings, and God is blessing you? Or have you took something accursed and dug it in your tent and tried to hide it? Well, they got before the congregation, the whole nation of Israel. Joshua said, we've sinned. There's sin in the camp. And you know what? This man could have come up right then. Achan could have come up right then and said, whoa, wait a minute, it's me. But you know what? He still thought he had it hid. Some of you out there right now, you know you've done wrong. You know you've sinned. You think you have it covered. You think nobody's going to find out. But let me tell you, honey, God's got a shovel too. I don't care how big, big your hole is and how deep you have dug your ditch, God's shovel can reach out and bring up anything you think you've got hid. You best come clean with it, and you best repent of it, because if you don't, it's going to really affect your whole life and your family. You mamas and daddies, you think you go out here and live any way you want to, act like a fool, curse and carry on and fight and fuss in front of your children, and you think it's not going to affect your children? Let me tell you, mamas, how you treat your husbands is what kind of a man your daughters are going to marry. Men, how you treat your wives is going to have an effect on how your sons treat their family. You better shape yourself up and live right, because you're not on an island by yourself. There's people watching you. People watching you at work. You all up holy thinking you something and thinking people at work don't know what you're doing. God's got a magnifying glass on everything you do. You're not hiding anything from God. And let me tell you, people will forgive sin when you come clean. But when you try to hide it and cover it up and lie, you're going to cause trouble not only amongst yourself, but everybody that you're around. It's going to come out. You might as well go ahead and confess. Go ahead and come clean and let God set your life straight. But let me tell you something. They bought them up tribe by tribe. And each time God would tell, no, no, no. But then one came up. It was the tribe of Judah. And then they went by the households. And guess what? God singled out Achan. And he said, that's the man. And this is what Achan said he done. He said this. I saw it. I covered it. And I took it. I saw it. I covered it, and I took it. That's the same thing that Eve done in the Garden of Eden. She saw that it was good. She took it, and she ate it. He said, I saw it, I covered it, and I took it. And that's where our sin comes in. You look at that thing. You start coveting after the wrong thing. And when you take it into your bosom, it's going to be like a viper. It's going to turn. And it's going to bite you. It's going to turn. It's going to come back on you. I went to Sweetwater, Texas, and they were having what they called a rattlesnake roundup. And those guys could pick those rattlesnakes up a certain way. And I asked one of them, I said, man, how do you know how to pick that thing up? He said, ma'am, it's not hard to pick one up. He said, the secret it is in how do you put it down, because you can't lay it down. You got to know how to put it down, because if you don't put it down right, it's going to turn and it's going to bite you. See, some of you have picked up snakes and vipers, but let me tell you, you don't know how to put it down, because it's going to turn and it's going to come against you. You got to come clean with God. And I'm telling you, God's sending a message to somebody right now. You're listening. You better come clean with God, because you think you've got it hid, but God's going to bring it out before the whole entire is going to know what you've done. And Achan said, I saw it, I covered it, and then I took it. And he took it, and the Bible says he buried it in his tent. He buried it, he dug a hole in his floor, and he buried it. He hid it. And after God told him, don't do it, don't do it, don't do it, it's a curse, it's going to cause you trouble. You see, God has warned us in His Word what we are to do, and not because God is setting up heaven, making a bunch of rules, and He's just going to hammer us over the head if we step up. No, God tells you this for a reason. God tells you this to protect you. See, we've got to have a system. We've got to have laws. We've got to have moral laws. Because when you do evil and you work against your fellow men and women and you steal and you cheat, it's going to affect everybody around you. And it's going to affect your family. God tells us these things to keep us out of trouble and keep us in victory. Not to hurt us, not to harm us, but to cause us good. They took Achan. They took him before the whole nation and his family, because they were in on it too, and all of his possessions, and he was stoned to death that day. And they took everything he had, and they covered him with stones, a symbol to all the people that sin has consequence. Sin will take you further than you want to go. Sin will cost you more than you want to pay, and sin is going to keep you longer than you want to stay. There is a consequence to sin. Now I want you to look again, and this thing happened in a valley called Achor, a valley of troubling. That's what it means, a valley of troubling, the valley of Achor. Some of you right now, your life is a valley of Achor, meaning troubling. It's nothing but troubled waters in your house. You fuss and fight all the time. You're having trouble with your kids. You're having trouble on the job. You're having trouble with your finances. You can't even get your lawnmower to run. You're having trouble with your lawn. You're having trouble everywhere you go. You've even named your dog. Some people I know, they named a dog Trouble. I don't know if I'd want to name him that or not. I've got a good friend that's his dog's name. I don't know if he saved him from trouble or if he is trouble. But listen, you're in the valley of Achor, troubling. It's because of what you got hid in your house. I want you to listen now. Rahab the harlot received the word of God, hid the message, hid the messengers in her house. And because she fought for God and not against God and hid the right thing in her house, she was spared. Her whole household was spared. Her whole family was spared. And all of her possessions were spared. And from her lineage came the Lord Jesus Christ. But Achor hid the accursed thing in his house. It destroyed his whole family because he had a moment of greed and covetousness. And he lusted after the wrong thing. And he lost, not only did he lose his life and his family, but his whole possessions. And when you think of him and his household, you think of the valley of trouble. I want to ask you a question. When your family and your friends think of you and your household, what do they think of? Oh, that's a blessed, happy family. Oh, man, they're having trouble. They fuss and fight all the time. Nothing is right with them. It's always wrong. They either laying up with this or doing that. They hooked on this. They can't do this. Why? Because you got the wrong thing hid in your house. David said, God, I want to hide your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. That's where you got to start. You got to start putting stuff in your heart. Because you see, what's in your heart is what's going to come out. What you fill yourself with is what you're going to live off of. Some of you filled yourself with filth and evil and mocking God and turning against God. And that's what your life is filled with. That's what you talk about all the time. You condemn everybody. You put down everybody. You can't say a kind word to anybody. Everything's doom and gloom. woe and despair. You're in a valley of Achor, valley of troubling, because you haven't hid the right thing in your heart. You see, listen, you cannot have the right thing in your house if the right thing is not in your heart. Rahab had the right thing in her heart, and she hid the right thing in her house, and she was blessed. Achan hid the wrong thing in his heart. Therefore, the wrong thing was put in his house, and he destroyed his household because of what was in his heart. He said, I saw it, I coveted it, and I took it. When the wrong thing's in your heart, the wrong thing's going to be in your life. This is a serious message today. Some of you are in trouble up to your eyes. You got to start right now. Let me tell you what to do. First thing you got to do is get on your knees, whether no matter who you are. If you're traveling in your car, pull over to the side of the road and ask God to help you, to forgive you of any wrong thing that's in your heart. Help Him to purge your heart, cleanse your heart, create in you a right spirit and a clean heart. Go home and have a good old house cleaning. Take out things that are not right and begin to live right and put right stuff in your house. See, what you store up today is going to feed you for tomorrow. Some of you have stored up the wrong thing, and you're going to be feasting on the evil that you've put in. It's not too late. It's not too late to be blessed of God. It's not too late. While you're hearing the word now, God is giving you the opportunity to put the right thing in your heart, so the right thing will be in your house, and the right thing will be in your children, because let me tell you know this, and you've heard it over. You reap what you sow. You reap what you sow. Today, children, oh, please listen. Put the word of God in you. Repent of your sin. Turn from your wicked ways. Come clean. Come clean. Come abreast. Make it clear. Tell God what you've done. Repent of your sin. Make things right. And start living right and doing right. Putting the right things in your heart. And you start by going to the house of God. Hear some good preaching. Get under a good Bible study. Be faithful to do. Go back to church. Get on your knees. Pray. Humble yourself before God. Get in God's Word. God will bless you. I want to ask you again. What have you got hid in your heart? Because what's hid in your heart is what's in your house. And what's in your house is going to come out. And it's going to determine not only your future, but the future of your children, of your grandchildren, of your great-grandchildren, from generation to generation. Beware, be careful, oh children, how important it is. Guard your heart, guard your soul. And remember, Jesus loves you. He's not wanting to condemn you, but He's wanting to bless you. He said, I didn't come to condemn you, I come to give you life and give it more abundantly. Let Him give you the abundant life. But you cannot get the abundant life when you got sin hid in your heart. I want to close with this, and I want to read it again, and I want you to hear what I wrote down. We constantly hear that private sin has nothing to do with a person's ability to perform his personal, his public responsibilities. Wrong. Private sin affects everything a man or woman touches because it reveals true character, and character is the basis of every relationship. What you've hid in your heart is going to determine what's practiced in your house, and what's practiced in your heart is going to come out in every area of your life. Today, take heed to what you're doing. Take heed to how you walk. Jesus wants to bless you. Don't turn away the sweetest gift that you could ever have, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. God bless you today. Have a marvelous day in Jesus. Thank you for listening. Tune in again next week at the same time, and visit me on my website for truckingforjesus.org. Thank you, and God bless you.